You're listening to Games of Future Past on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Games of Future Past. I'm Tim, that's Dave.
We're back in the saddle of the Games of Future Past time machine, taking you to the future of past of the games.
Yeah, we got a little bit of end of year housekeeping that we still got to do in our grand tradition of going back 20 years in time to talk about old video games. And we're gonna do, God, we've been doing this for a while. This episode is the best of 1997.
Ooh,
20 years
what
ago.
A year.
Yeah. I will say, I took a bit of a, you know, some of our podcasts in this vein in the past have been very encompassing. I kind of focused on the stuff that I was playing more so this time around, rather than, like, you know, there was things that came out in Japan this year, like Tekken 3, which we wouldn't see on consoles for another year. Same with Tactics. So look at very specific.
So in other words, welcome to our Symphony of the Night podcast.
Oh, dude, come on. There is way more than that in fucking 1997. Don't even play. But
all right, I'll stop playing. I'm sorry.
All right. But yeah, off the bat, I didn't have a PC in 97. So this is my one note off the track, because Fallout came out in 1997. That would eventually, about 10 years later, become a very significant franchise in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fallout's a cool game. That's crazy. 97, man. Whew. My video gaming in 1997, like yours, I'm assuming, was spent on a Nintendo 64 and or a PlayStation.
Yes. Mine was spent on your Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Not on my own. I didn't own one until college.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact.
I didn't know that.
Really? Huh. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah, really. Until I got one. Like my senior year of college for $20 at a GameStop.
Huh. You didn't miss much. So, I mean, you played all the good games in our house.
Exactly. Yeah, I was playing Mario Kart and Turok with you and George and Weiss, and so I definitely got to enjoy all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just vicariously.
Yeah. You. Well, I mean, that was
Because this was a major year for the N64 library.
This was a major year for the N64 library. Yeah, so kicking off was Blast Corps for me. That was
This
was also, like, there was not many games dropping for the N64. I mean, there wasn't terribly many games for the N64 in general, but in those first few months, like, games were very sparse. Like, there was a couple games at launch, then a couple games came out a couple months later. There was, like, maybe like 6 or 7 games by Christmas 96. So every game that launched was kind of a big deal, because it was another game, but. You know, Blast Corps is one of my favorite games for the system.
Oh, yeah. That's a seminal Tim Akabas
game. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's completely inseminated you for
yes,
years.
Yes, absolutely. And Turok, that was another one. But, yeah, the more significant stuff, like Star Fox 64, which is a bit more similar. But this is the year in which Nintendo 64 started to take off in its true environment, which was the 4-player gaming system of choice.
Yeah.
It would remain for the next several years.
I mean, just looking at the multiplayer games on this release list.
Like, this is the shit that we played. It was Mario Kart 64. It was WCW versus NWO World Tour and all of its iterations. It was GoldenEye 007. It was not Diddy Kong Racing.
No,
but that
not
is
so
her
much.
Wife's favorite video game of all time. Which she swore up and down she would kick my ass in.
Oh, she's never played it since. Never asked me to, never thought about it.
I'm sure.
Oh. We tried out Bomberman 64, didn't
we, at some point? Yeah, of course.
It was kind of weird.
It was okay.
It's polygonal. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, my God, GoldenEye.
Yeah,
GoldenEye. Which I think we didn't really get into playing it a ton until like 98. More like senior year. I would play it with, you know, the neighborhood kids and my brother, for sure, in Mario Kart. And I remember playing World Tour at like a cast party for one of our High School Musicals or something like that. That was going on.
I remember playing Turok the first time, more than I remember the first time I sat down and played GoldenEye with you guys. I remember playing Turok first because it might have been my very first-person shooter.
Yeah, wow.
Like, I don't even know if I had encountered Doom. The game you played
wasn't Turok, it was Turok 2.
Oh, really? Yep.
Turok 1 did not have a multiplayer mode.
It didn't?
Nope.
That's weird to think.
So stop talking about
really?
Turok 2, Dave. Yeah.
Oh, no, shit.
No, I remember, because, yeah, you and Weiss came by my house after we went out and looked for props and stuff for our public speaking play. And we were at my house, and we played some Turok 2 split-screen monkey mode and deathmatch and shit and Goldeneye.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
That was what kicked things off with us playing games all the time. But either way, yeah, Goldeneye, that is a game that we'd go on, you know, years later to play long into the night while listening to Busta Rhymes.
Well, this was the N64's first full year on the market anywhere globally. Yep. And so like you see a lot of the games that like if they didn't have a deadline to hit, like these would have been the launch, like Blast Corps, Mario Kart 64, you know, ideally those would have been launch games that, that they slipped into February of the next year. I'm sure Turok was one of those games too. And then you get like the summer hits start coming in like Star Fox. And I mean, it's a pretty consistent release schedule because you've got all those late winter, early spring games. Then you've got another, you know, heavy hitters in the summer with Star Fox and Goldeneye. And then they close out the year with
Diddy Kong Racing.
Diddy Kong Racing.
Well, that's when the wrestling
WCW.
Came out. I remember being disappointed because Banjo-Kazooie was supposed to be the holiday game that year, but it ended up getting delayed, which left us with Diddy Kong Racing, which I was not interested in. My brother got it anyway, so that was
yeah.
So yeah, it was a good year for the old N64.
Yeah, definitely a year that showed that it could handle.
I will keep coming back to it, but GoldenEye cannot be understated on this list as to my recollection, the first 4-player split screen console first person shooter game, which is the worst way, you know, to play a first person shooter. You're not playing on mouse and keyboard, you're playing on this tiny screen, but we're also playing on CRTs, mind you, like these tiny little windows on like a 24-inch TV, but that was fine. That worked. It got the job done. It was the best thing ever. Like that game, you cannot go back to. You cannot go back to GoldenEye. It is not the same. But man, putting on pistols only with one-shot kills, putting on the power weapons, putting on like nothing but dick slappy chops. each other. The only maps you're playing on are like Temple and Complex and in the archives. And the FAC facility. Those are like the only maps you played on. That game.
My God.
Meanwhile, on the PlayStation.
Oh boy.
A few games came out. Parappa the Rappa came out, which I played a lot of the demo of.
Yeah.
Because that was on a PlayStation demo disc, so I played Chop Chop Master Onion Head a lot. Mega Man X4 came out, which was, you know, Mega Man X's transition from Super Nintendo to PlayStation. I did pick up that game because I was a big Mega Man fan.
And that's cool.
Yeah. But, I mean, this was the year of Final Fantasy VII and Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Those were the big games. These are the games that kind of established that the PlayStation was the console you wanted and not the N64. Like here was your new Final Fantasy that Square, you know, hit Nintendo with the proverbial chair over the back of the head and left lying in the middle of the ring to walk off with the heelish PlayStation stable and make this game to put in, you know, fucking passive aggressive and straight up aggressive ads into EGM.
You are a poet. Do you know that?
I try. So, yeah, Final Fantasy VII came out in 1997, and whatever I might say about that game now and how it has held up over the years, I played the fuck out of it when it came out. Like, it was crazy. I played so much of that game just every night, got home from school and just sat there and just played it late in the night. I remember my brother watching me. I remember doing a bunch of chocobo training. I remember that, like, the summon animations blew my mind back then. Like, every cutscene was so cool. I remember being like,
so long.
Man, why are these characters, like, so similar to one another? but it was, you know, in 1997, that was the business, man.
Yeah, it was cinematic Japanese storytelling. It was something.
Man, our voices are raw right now.
I
we got to get through this
a little bit.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh
gosh, Mega Man 8 also came out on PlayStation 1. Fuck that game.
Yeah, Castlevania Symphony of the Night,
which boy.
I got for Christmas that year, in which upon unwrapping it, my mother was quick to inform me that she went through hell to find a copy of it. So it was apparently easy to find in 1997. Also, like, it's not easy to find now, the black label version of Castlevania Symphony of the Night, with its boring ass fucking cover art.
I got a black label copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if I got it for my birthday that year or for Christmas. What I remember is that after getting it, I stayed up until it was on a weekend. I stayed up until 4 a.m. playing that game and then did the same thing the next day and finished the game in 2 days. I put that game down to get 4 hours of sleep and to eat the occasional meal. And otherwise, I spent however many hours that was between, I spent 12 hours marathoning that game in a weekend and did not regret a minute of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, when it was over, I wasn't like, oh, it's over and I'm never going to touch this again. No, I did not regret just losing myself. And I had a fucking lost weekend with Symphony of the Night when I got it.
I couldn't have that experience with the game because at that point, the PlayStation was my brother's console. I didn't own a PlayStation of my own until I went off to college. I bought it for my 18th birthday. PlayStation because I was going off to college and I was like, shit, I can't take my brother's PlayStation. I need to get my own.
Gonna need something.
So yeah, I picked up, I think Lunar Silver Star Story had just come out. I picked up that and Metal Gear Solid and went off to college. And I was playing Metal Gear Solid my first week of college. Or no, I wasn't, because I forgot the RF adapter for it and had to go back a week later to get that. Then I played some Metal Gear Solid. But yeah, I just, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, I don't have, I think our house was getting work done on it at the time. I think I remember there not being a wall to my brother's bedroom where I was playing it, but.
Yeah, that was the case for a while.
That game is a fucking classic for a reason. It holds up. Unlike Final Fantasy VII, unlike every other fucking game we talked about, other than maybe like Blast Corps, that game holds up in 1997 absolutely as much as it did in 2017 or 2018, rather, as much as it did in 1997. Yeah,
like people still talk about it. People still compare games.
It is one of those games that people will go back and play every year. Just to play through it. Like it is kind of the pinnacle of classic 2D animation. Like, obviously,
over on
indie games now, whatever, there's Cuphead in the world.
Yeah, but, I mean, the indie games now are opulently animated in different ways. This had the level of opulence on display here, the level of attention to detail is just on an order of crazy that you can only get when you have Japanese dudes working overtime and chain smoking.
Yeah, like, and it was, you know, they don't make them like they used to. Sony wanted 3D games on their system. Like 2D games was seen as a thing of the past. It was old hat. Like that's not where the development monies was going into in those days. So it was a relic and a revolution, like, all at once.
Really.
This
is one of those games that I own a million copies.
I got a few of this one.
I own two discs. I own both a black label, the original black label release, and a greatest hits version of the original disc.
You'll remember this conversation from last week's Triple Radio, by the way.
You may. Well, I didn't mention Symphony of the Night at that time because I knew it would come up here. back the way back yes. then. I own, let's see, I'm pretty sure I own the XBLA version, and I own it on PSN, and I own it in the Dracula X compilation, and I have emulated it on everything that it can.
I just don't have a greatest hits version, and that's about it. Otherwise, it's everywhere. Needs to get on the Switch.
yeah.
Needs to get on other modern consoles. You know, Jeremy Parrish wrote an article recently, kind of in regards to Bayonetta, about how the tack being played with games nowadays, just like with all the re-releases that we saw on PlayStation 4 and mm-hmm. Xbox One, is just like, put games on everything that they can fucking run on. Just put them on there on the system, which is the way it used to be in the 80s. You'd put it on every fucking PC, ZX Spectrum, ColecoVision. You just put the games on the systems and whatever. And then that wasn't a thing for a long time, but now it's kind of becoming a thing again. And just like, if you can make your game run on it, just put it out. And
did he write that for Polygon, or did he write that for
Retronauts? That was on Retronauts.
Okay.
But yeah, I would love to see, well, Symphony of the Night would probably not be on the Switch. That's only really, well, no, it was on Xbox Live Arcade. So yeah, that could end up anywhere.
Yeah. That could totally be on the Switch.
Yep. And it should.
Put that on the Switch.
Put it on the Switch.
And it absolutely should be.
I will give you my money. Easily.
My God. Final Fantasy VII and Symphony of the Night, like, that could be it. That could be the end of the PlayStation release list. Yeah. There, obviously, a lot of other stuff came out for PlayStation that year. The other probably big hitter for PlayStation was all the way at the opposite end of the year with Gran Turismo.
That didn't come out in the U.S. till 90, which is why I didn't mention it.
It didn't? Nope. Oh, shit. Never mind. All right, never mind. Nothing, then the rest of that year was shit besides Parappa. There's Colony Wars. I know some people like Colony Wars. I guess that
Colony
was
Wars is okay. Don't you fucking slam Colony Wars.
I'm not dissing Colony Wars. I'm just saying it's a little obscure.
Yeah, oh yeah. And yeah. I mean, that was like, you know, you can't have X-Wing versus TIE Fighter on a console, which also came out that year, by the way. On PC, but yeah, it was that kind of a space shootery thing. So, yeah, but yeah, that was kind of 1997. That was the best stuff to take out of it for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I thought this was a funny thing.
Excuse me.
There, three things. I'm seeing three things that happened in 97. A tragedy. Gunpei Yokoi died in a car accident. B. Production begins on Duke Nukem Forever this year.
Comedy.
Funny. And also, this was the year that an episode of Pokemon in Japan caused 600 Japanese children to have seizures. And it was a whole epilepsy thing. Yeah. And it was like, it was a pop culture joke about crazy Japanese kids' cartoons making kids have seizures. It was like they joked about it on The Simpsons. They joked about it on late night shows. It was a big deal. It was a big pop culture joke for like half a year after that.
Yeah, I still think of that. I mentioned that to someone recently. It came up somehow talking about Pokemon. But yeah, that's so funny. Yep. Oh, look at you, you dirty little rascal. 1997, what? Harvest Moon on the Super Nintendo came out in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Glitch. Ooh, late Super Nintendo release.
You know, I thought they were all out at that point. I totally glazed over it. But yeah, one last gasp for the Super Nintendo.
And one that would go on to have surprising longevity.
I've still never played the original Harvest Moon. I probably never will. I'll just play some Stardew Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point.
Now that I know Stardew Valley exists, I've never played a Harvest Moon, and I feel like I don't have to
Stardew Valley is that series went on a journey, like from where it started to where it is now with like the Rune Factory games or whatever and the spinoffs and like how it was iterated on. And then, excuse me. But yeah, that's going to do it for us on this episode of Games of Future Past. Catch y'all next time.
Thanks for listening. Go play some Einhander.
Yeah, fucking Einhander.
Just 97. Oh, and I, you know, we would be remiss if I know that we just said goodbye. We would be remiss if we didn't at least mention that Grand Theft Auto came out this year.
Oh yeah. Yep. Oops.
Another game that would prove to have some legs. Yeah. It had some legs.
All right.
So you guys enjoy that. All right. Thanks, everyone. I'm Dave. That's Tim. And we'll see you next time.